did God give us the word? Last week we did purpose in prayer. Please, our advice, you go and listen to that message. Any message that is taught here, it is good for you that you go and listen to it again. It will really help you. It will help you. Please ensure you give time. One of the greatest things you will do for yourself in this season is to give attention to the word. Proverbs 4 from verse 20. Proverbs 4 from verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Next verse. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Next verse. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 20. It says, keep thy heart with what? Okay, so this is for all of it. Addition. Go back to verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my what? Give me amplified version, please. So not the one that says was, my son, attend. That means pay attention. Pay attention to my words. Give me another version. Oh man, de tico sofra. Simenaf le disopande. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. So God wants us, go back to King James, God wants us to pay attention to his word. Undivided attention to God's word. We are in a season where we must pay attention to God's word. I don't just mean to be playing a message casually. It is to pay attention. To put your whole being meditatively on the word of God. Many of us do that, but sometimes we do that and we are distracted. We are hearing a message, we are chatting on WhatsApp. That's not paying attention. We are not. We are reading your Bible. It says to pay attention. You discover that if you can give 30 minutes full attention to God's word every day, you walk in strange power. Just, 30 minutes full attention. You can play a sermon for 3 hours, yet your mind is not there. But God says what? Pay attention. He says, incline your ear to the words I'm saying to you. Give your ear. I heard about a man of God who went around putting one hand on his ear. He said, because that was how God talks to him. So he never wanted anything to enter the ear. He will put, everywhere he's going to, he'll put hand on the ear. I'm telling you, for many years, his hand was always like this. And God was faithful to always talk to him through that ear. That's strange. That is giving attention. It means you will put your mind, as you read, as you listen, your whole entirety is there. He said, pay attention to my word. And then he tells you why you should do that. Next verse. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy word. So keep looking at it. So how do you pay attention? You keep looking at the word. You keep your gaze fixed on the word. He said, keep them in the midst of your heart. Memorize it. Internalize the word into your heart. He said, keep your gaze on it. Keep looking at it. Don't take it from your face. You might need to write, do some printing of scriptures. Put around your house. He said, keep your eyes on the word. So he starts by saying, incline your ear. So what do you give your ear to? And then he says what? Your eyes. Can you see that now? Let them not depart from your eyes. And says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Internalize the things you are hearing. Make them part and parcel of you. Next verse. He says, for they are life to those that find them. They are life and health to all their flesh. The word health there means medicine, either preventive or curative. The word of God is life to those that find them, and is medicine, preventive medicine, or what? Come on. Or? So, it can either prevent or cure. Bible says that is the reason why you should always keep it before your eyes. It's the reason why you should incline your ear continually to watch yourself. And most importantly, it says pay attention. Come on, say, I pay attention to God's word. Say, I pay attention to God's word. Say, I submit my entirety to God's word. Say, my being is open to receive light from the word of God. Say, I incline my ear. I keep God's word before my face without distractions in the name of Jesus. So he says to incline your ear because they are life to those that find them. So there's the difference between reading the Bible and finding the truth. So you can be reading and have not found. He said, when you find, he said, it is life to you. God takes pleasure in hiding things and he wants you to search them out. God does not hide things from the believer. God hides things for the believer. He doesn't hide things from you. He hides them for you. Jesus told them, he says, unto you is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. He will tell a parable in the crowd. And then when he goes back to the disciples, he will now begin to explain to them the parable. And he told them why. He said, for unto you is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. A believer should not be proud of mysteries. The life of a believer shouldn't be mysterious. Mystery is what? Encoded truth. Unrevealed truth. Truth that is seen in darkness. So when you say, this thing is a mystery, it's a mystery. That's not what it means to spiritual. Say, don't worry, it's a mystery. There's nothing mysterious there. If your life is mysterious, then we have to check you. There's no believer who should believe a mysterious life. Why? Paul said that mystery has been unveiled. Colossians 1. He said the mystery was hidden. But it was not hidden from us. It was hidden for us. That we will come and look for it and see it. Give me Colossians 1, 27. It should be a mystery to the unbeliever. To the person who is not born again, but not to a believer. Colossians 1. He said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of what? 26. Go back to verse 25. He said, wherefore I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Next verse. He said, even the mystery which had been hid from ages. And from what? But now is what? Did you see that? He said it was hidden for ages. He said, but now. So now in the New Testament, there's no mystery. There should not be a mystery. Why? Whatever was mysterious, Bible says is now revealed. To who? Are you among the saints? Are you among the saints? So to you, there is no mystery. What was mysterious in the days past is now manifest to you. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Then has it come to the heart of man. What God has prepared for them that love him. He said, but these things have been revealed to us, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So for the believer, there ought not to be, the word of God not ought not to be a mystery. Paul said it's now manifest to the saints. So God wants us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Say, Jesus wants me to understand the kingdom mysteries. Amen. So why does God give his word? Or why did God give his word? I'll give us three whys today, because it's quite exhaustive. Number one reason why God gives us the word is to renew our minds. God's word is given to us for the renewal of our minds. God's word is given to us for what? Say, God's word to me is to renew my mind. So God's word is given to us to renew our minds. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, and be not conformed to the world, but be what? By the renewing of our minds. NLT says, allow God to change the way you think. So God's word is that instrument of renewal. Because when we are saved, our spirit man is saved. Our spirit man is recreated. But the soul is not saved. James 1:21, it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So it means your soul is not saved as salvation. But your spirit man is recreated. But the soul of man is not saved. Bible says then what? What will save your soul is what? That the receiving with meekness the what? Engrafted word. The word engrafted actually means instruction. You see, how will your soul be saved? By receiving instruction from the word. You see, all scripture is given by even of God for correction, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect, ready for every good work. So God gave us his word to renew our minds, to change the way we're thinking. There's a way to think as a believer. Amen. A believer does not accept as reality what the common man accepts as reality. In renew your mind, what you judge to be true will be changed. What you judge to be real has to change. It doesn't mean you deny the facts, but a renewed mind does not accept, does not deny the facts, but puts God's word over facts. So if you are sick, you are sick. That's a fact. But is there a word that addresses that? Come on now. So why do you acknowledge that I am sick? But the Bible says, with the stripes of Jesus, I were healed. Or I was healed. So whatever I feel in my body has a cure already. Remember he said what? That they are life to those that find them. And they are what? Medicine to what? To their flesh. To their bodies. The word of God is medicine. He said he sent forth his word and healed them. And delivered them from all their destruction. So God's word is medicine, actually. Amen. Amen. You know, I've been watching something in my body for years now. Check my BP. Then it's high. It's low. It's high. But I kept speaking God's word. And after the conference, I went back to check it again. And boy, my BP is clinical normal. 120 over 80. And there's one word I used to confess in my morning confessions. The guy said, he said, my blood pressure is 120 over 80. He will mention it actually. He will say, my pancreas secretes the right as, you know, I was in a confession. And then the prayers came. And bam, 120 over 80. Why? The word of God is medicine. It is curative. It can cure any sickness. Amen. Amen. So God's word will renew your mind to determine what you accept to be normal. There are many things we've come to accept that we should never accept. There are things we have come to live with, we are beginning to adjust to as normal. But God's word will show us that it's not normal. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. You know, you can be so much without light that you get used to it. You know, when I was on campus, our school never used to have light. Or every time there's no light. So we had candles. We buy candles. And then the candle, we burn it. Then there's one place on my table that had a heap of wax. So when I buy a new candle, I just chuck it inside. Then I go to part 4 and they fix our transformer. Come and see how guys were sleeping instead of reading. Because for the first time in 4 years, at night, you are sleeping like, you are reading your book and the fan just blow you back. Your hair is on the table. Your head is bowed like Goliath on your table. Then you wake up, you have drawn map of Africa on your table. Because we're not used to having light. Amen. And see, certain things you go through in life, you have to be careful not to accept them as your reality. It is through the word of God that we change what we accept as reality. When people go through a particular thing in their lives, it is possible to get to a point where that thing sticks to your mind. The way to renew your mind is by the word of God. By paying attention. By inclining your ears to the word of God. It is what renews your mind. Paints a new picture of a better reality to you. So there are things you've come to accept that is not true. The way to renew your mind is by giving attention to God's word. Come on, say, I give attention. Say, I give attention to the word of God. Say, I incline my ears to the word of God. Say, I keep it before my eyes. I store it inside my heart. Whatever it is that has become a stronghold in your mind, the word of God can renew it. It says, with meekness, receive, lay hold of the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, which is able to deliver your soul. What determines what makes a man appreciate the things of God or live with earthly realities is the posture of the man's soul. The posture of your soul determines how far you go in the things of God. And so you must give attention always to God's word. Give attention. Am I saying don't have fun? Don't watch movies? Please do. But make sure you're not feeding your mind with things that negate the word of God. Many of us have problems because of the films we watch. Amen. Amen. That's where our problem came from. Because every time you watch a movie, there is a message they are sending out. So if you think that everything is just fun, you will find yourself thinking in a particular way, not knowing that there is something sponsoring that mindset. And until you drop that thing, your mind will always be set in that pattern. So if you spend 5 hours watching TV, it will be good to spend more time with the word. Except what you are watching is edifying you. Give attention to God's word so you can renew your mind. Renew your mind from fear. Renew your mind from doubt. Even when a miracle is done in front of some people, they will still doubt it. And somebody came to church with one leg short and the leg grew out in front of them. They will still say, maybe there was something pulling it. You know, that's a stronghold. Bible says to cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against what? Against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. He said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? You subdue them by the word. You keep inserting the word into your spirit. You keep inserting the word into your mind. There are 3 gates to our minds. Our eyes, our ears, and our mouth. The ear gate. You saw what the Bible says you do with your ear gate. It says incline your ear to the word. What of your eyes? He said, keep them before your eyes. Keep looking at them. So our minds, when renewed, will grow in appreciation of what is true in the sight of God. Our minds, when renewed, will become agents of transformation for our lives. Our lives can never be transformed until our mind is renewed. Our lives can never be transformed until our mind is renewed. So what God's word does in changing your life, it is to first renew your mind. So when we say confess the word, declare scriptures, it is to renew your mind first. So that what you have been judging to be true will change. Then the miracle you are looking for comes into your hand. But first things first, in confessing scriptures, is that mindset will begin to change. Because just as in eating, your stomach can only be filled when your mouth is working. The same way, your life can only be changed with the words you say in your mouth. Bible says, with the increase of a man's lips, shall he be satisfied. Shall he be satisfied? No increase of the lips, no satisfaction. You want your life to have satisfaction, then it must increase your confessions. You must give more time to speaking God's word. And I've learned that it doesn't matter what you are going through. If you keep God's word in your mouth long enough, it will bend to the word of God. I'm not just telling you this in theory, in practice. You have to keep talking. Keep making declarations. See, the mere fact that you get tired of talking means there's something there. Did you hear what I'm saying? Come on. The mere fact that you got tired of making that confession, it means there is something there for you. Your flesh is now recoiling. Your flesh is now saying you have been talking since. What has changed? That is when you should get more aggressive with your confession. It says, pay attention. Pay attention. Incline your ear. Keep it before your eyes. Why? Your mind will be renewed. And so you get to the point where you start thinking the right thoughts. Philippians 4 verse 8. He said, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are of good report. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. That's what happens when you give your ear to God's word. Your mind begins to think on the right things. Your mind is not thinking on scandals. Your mind is not thinking on failures. Your mind is postured for success. The only way to posture the mind of an average man on success is to infuse it with so much positivity from God's word. Say, I'm wired to think success. Say, I do not think failure. I don't think death. I think life. Come on, say, I think success. I think increase. Say, even in the face of strong adversity, I think victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. My mind is wired to think success. My mind is wired to think breakthroughs. My mind is wired to see answers. I don't see difficulties anymore. See, even if you are seeing right now, say it to yourself until you start seeing that. You check your account and you say, hey. You say, no, I don't see brokenness. I don't see lack. My mind is wired to see plenty. Because let me tell you, until your mind sees it, it will be hard to come into your hand. Praise God forevermore. So God gives us his word to renew our minds. Say, my mind is renewed. Say, my mind is renewed by the word of God. Say, my mind is renewed by the word of God. I don't think failure. I don't think lack. All I think about is increase and abundance in the name of Jesus. Say, I don't think sickness. My mind is filled of health, filled with health. I think of health, healthy living, soundness of mind in the name of Jesus. Say, I have a sound mind. Say, I have a sound mind.
You know, when my kids were younger, I used to give them a song to sing. I have a sound mind. They've forgotten the song now. As an everybody say, I have a sound mind. I have a sound. They kept singing it. That was their rhyme. At age 3 and 4, I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. And I'm there already. So you go back to that song, Adasa. I have a sound mind. They were singing until they go and sleep. I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. You see, one of the ways, okay, let me not say that one. So you guys not start feeling jealous. Praise God. Praise God. God is taking you through everything so that you will raise nations for Him. You will raise godly seed for Him. Many of you want to get married. See yourself raising godly seed. See yourself as progenitors of a godly population. People that populate the earth with godliness. Did you hear what I'm saying here? And the way to think this is by the word of God. When you are in lack, start seeing yourself. The word of God can push you from somebody who is always thinking of needing help to somebody who sees himself as helping others. It's a mind shift. It's a mind shift. Number two, why God gives us His word. God's word is given to us to show us what is possible. God's word is given to us to show us what is what? Mark 9 verse 23. Quickly. Mark 9 23. God's word is given to us to show us possibilities. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, how many things are possible? Some things? How many? All things are possible to him that what? But sir, I have been believing. I've not seen it. Keep believing. Come on now. Why? All things are what? So how do you make this scripture your own? You go back there. You say, Lord, your word says that if I believe, all things are possible to me. When Jesus is speaking, listen to what he did not say. Sometimes you understand what he said from what is not being said. So when he said, all things are possible, by implication, nothing is impossible. Okay. When he said, all things are possible, what does it imply? So when you read it in one way, and it still sounds cloudy, read it in reverse. If all things are possible, simultaneous equation. If all things are possible, it therefore means that what? Nothing is impossible. If nothing is impossible, it also means that what? All things are what? So when I look at a matter that looks impossible, what should I remember? So I say to that thing that looks impossible, that hey, I have been told, I have information before now, that you are possible. Come on, come on. That business plan is possible. That job you are eyeing for greater increase, he said it's possible. Why? All things are possible. Come on now. All things are possible. Come on, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. Why? He says to them that believe. Have you believed? Do you believe? Have you believed? Do you believe? It therefore means that what? All things. Say all things are possible to me. Say to me, nothing is impossible. Come on now, say to me, nothing is impossible. Say all things are possible. Say, I believe all things are possible. Say, I believe all things are possible. Oh, all things are possible. That business capital is possible. That expansion is possible. That joy is possible. Healing is possible. All things are possible. Why? Because I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. All things are possible. Come on, say, I believe. Ha ha. All things are possible. Say, I see all things right now as being possible
Say, nothing is impossible to me. I believe. I believe. Why we live impossible? It says because I believe. Luke 1:37, quickly. God's word shows us what is possible. Luke 1:37, quickly. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. This angel Gabriel speaking to Mary here, Bible says in the 6th month. He said, a time came, Zechariah was in the temple, offering service as it was appointed to him. An angel appeared to him and said, hey, man, your prayers have been answered. Your wife will be of child. He shall be the forerunner of Jesus, and all that story. And then after 6 months, the angel appeared to Mary and said, hail! Give me that Luke 1:26. Something I saw when I was studying it. 26. And in the 6th month, this is 6 months after the angel appeared to Zechariah. Amen. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Next verse, quickly. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was what? Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was? Next verse. And the angel came to her and said, hail! You see, what is in brackets actually is in italics. And when you're reading the Bible, any word you see in italics was not in the original manuscript. It was added to give perceived more meaning to the text. So we're going to apply that rule now in reading this verse. Whatever you see in brackets is not in the original manuscript. So read everything without what is in the... Are you ready? And the angel came in unto her and said, hail! Okay. Hail, highly favored, the Lord with thee, blessed thou among women. Okay, he didn't, let me read it again. Can we go again? And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, highly, so he calls Mary what? Highly favored. The Lord, remove the is, with thee. Look at the full colon. When you see a colon, it means what's coming after is protruding from what is before the colon. Say, the Lord with thee, blessed thou. Remove the word thou and put you. Thou is Old English. The Lord with you, blessed you among women. So, Mary did not give birth to Jesus only because she was a virgin. I told you that virginity was the main thing in those days. You cannot not be married and not be a virgin. It's a taboo. So there were many virgins. But hear what he said. He said what? The Lord that is with you has blessed you. You didn't hear that. He said the Lord that is with you has what? Is God with you? What has he done to you? So God is not with you for sure. He is with you to bless you. As a matter of fact, he is with you because he has blessed you. Amen. Next verse. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast what? Next verse. So you see, it was all a function of what? Favor. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son to call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Next verse. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Next verse. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall what? Come on. The Holy Ghost shall what? And the power of the Highest shall? That means he will displace your shadow. He will cover you with so much light. You know what brings shadow? It's incomplete light. When light is not much, you have shadows. Come on. Come on. So when he says the Lord will overshadow you, it means his light will so beam on you, you will have no shadow. He says, therefore, the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Next verse. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God. For with God. For with God. So the angel told Mary, don't be amazed that you can be pregnant without having known a man. Why? He said, your cousin that was called barren. Not just as she did, they called her barren, as in, that is her name. He said what? She's 6 months pregnant. And then, I could imagine the face of Mary, saying, what? Yes. The angel said, yes. For with, read the Bible with drama in your mind now. After they say, what? Are you serious? He said, yes. For with nothing. So, pastor says you're going to have 1M in your account by December 31st. You're like, what? And what am I saying? For with God. You didn't get that one. Hey, but, for with God. Nothing. So, if you don't believe your own word, check around somebody who's got it. If you can't see anybody, check the Bible. It says, for with God, nothing. Nothing. Bible says that Mary responded. You see, there's a way to respond to the word. When God's word tells you what is possible, there's a way to respond. Look at Mary's response. Next verse. And Mary said, the first thing she responded with was a response of faith. Be it unto me according to what? Be it unto me. Not according to my experience. Not according to my current situation now. He said, be it unto me according to thy word. That means Mary accepted everything the angel said. She took that word and made it her own. He said, be it unto me. Let it be. In other words, let it be as you have said. Many times when we doubt, we are saying to God, it cannot be as you have said. Doubt is, I've heard you, but I'm not sure it will be. Doubt is, well, that one gave testimony. But I'm not sure my own can work. My own is too big. But Mary said, you know, it was easy for Mary to believe. Out of believing that a virgin will get pregnant and a woman called barren will get pregnant, which one is easier to believe? Eh? Because she wasn't the first person to be barren and pregnant. We had Hannah. There were precedences of Hannah. There was Sarah. So she could have said, okay, we know that even Mama Sarah at old age gave birth. Hannah was called barren. Yes, she gave birth. But this one of virgin having a child, bros, keep that in first. So it is easier to believe that a barren woman will get pregnant than that a virgin who has never seen a man, not that she has never seen man passing, she has never known a man, using Bible words. Amen? If you don't know what know is, go and Google it. That it is more easy to believe that we saw Sarah, we saw Hannah. But this one you are saying that virgin will have pregnancy. Bros, think and well. But Mary didn't say that. You see, your first response when you hear God's word matters a lot. You see, Zechariah was struck dumb. Why? Response. The angel said to him, man of God, God has answered your prayer. And what the man of God say? He said, you didn't whine me. If he was still, he said, angel Gabe, why you whine me now? He said, no, see, I'm old. But the man of God had been praying. You know, Mary said the same response. Mary said, how can these things be? Seeing I know not a man. But why did God strike, why did the angel strike Zechariah dumb? Because Mary wasn't praying to be a mother of Jesus. Come on. If Mary had any prayer point at that time, it was her wedding. She was espoused to marry. So, all her mind is wedding plan. Just imagine as a girl you want to get married to comes and says, the Holy Ghost gave me belly. There are many men here that will say, peace. You didn't whine me. Are you whining me? So imagine you are Joseph in that day. And your babe that you cannot touch, that you said, until I marry, suddenly going to say, I'm pregnant. Ah. Stop this nonsense. If not play, make you stop him. But thank God Joseph was a man of God. A man that could hear God. Because it took a man that could hear God to breathe that kind of talk. Who do you want to explain to that the Holy Ghost got you pregnant? How? So Mary, in believing the angel's word, puts her reputation at stake. Many of us are too conscious of our reputation to dive and act out in faith. Mary knew the consequence of being pregnant before marriage. Yet she said, be it unto me. Most times we don't act in faith because of we are too conscious of our reputation. That's why we don't act in faith. What would they say? What if I lay hands now in public and nothing happens? What would they say? You are more ego conscious than word conscious. If somebody's leg is broken into two, he says, lay hands. You say, what if I lay hands now? I lay hands on one lady that has polio. Twice. Nothing happened. But if I see her again, yours truly, I will lay hands. But you know, I can be thinking of my opinion and say, this one that there's crowd. I'm not going to lay hands and nothing will happen. Some people are saying, it's true. There's crowd. Let me not lay hands. If nothing happens, it's a shame. You are too conscious of your reputation. That's why you cannot walk in faith. A young man was in church and pastor was preaching. He said, I decree your car is coming. He said, go out tomorrow and price the car. I was sharing with somebody. He said, go out and price the car. And the young man went foolishly. You know, sometimes faith is foolish. He went to car stand. Someone has not bought bicycle in his life. To go and price the car. And he got there. Enter the car. Check the car. He said, while he was looking at the car, one allergy was coming with speed, desperately to where he was standing. He said, I beg, what happened? He just married second wife. Second wife said they must buy a car for her. And as they were coming, it was the car the guy was standing with. Second wife said, that's the car she must carry away, otherwise she doesn't want another car. He said, please, I'm begging you. Young man, my wife says she wants this new car. But point to another car, I will pay. Some of you who are very spiritual would have said, actually, I'm just pricing it. If you remember, you come back and tell that kind of story, I will dismember you. Say, no, I'm not trying to have integrity. You know, the girl would have said, no, actually, Elijah, I was just pricing it. Just, you can carry it. The guy, sharp guy, he said, this is the car I actually want. Man said, I beg, that la, young kuri, that la, young kuri. He said, okay. I point that one. The man, wire transfer. He went there carless and drove out a car because he acted on Rhema. Stop being careful about reputation. Act on the word. Act on the word. Because the word shows what is possible. Until the day Peter walked on water. Imagine what it means for a fisherman to walk on water. That took a lot of crazy faith. A lot of stupid faith. Because you see water every night. You know what water is. You understand water. See. Who understands sea more than a fisherman? So for Peter to have come out to put leg on that water, he must have been stupid. But what was he walking on? He was walking on the word come. He said, if it is you, tell me to come. How many of you will say, God, if it is you, tell me to come? And Jesus said to him, come. Like he's telling someone, come. Take that leap of faith. Take that step of faith. That person you are afraid to call the person. He says, come. And Peter entered. And by miracle, he began to walk on water. And I could imagine the other disciples saying, what? What's going on here? And then Peter heard one wave do, woo! And he turned. Then his fisherman profession came back to him. Say, no human being walks on water. Even fish is inside water they used to hide. And the Bible says he began to sink. When did Peter begin to sink? When he turned his eyes away from Jesus. The Bible says he considered the storms. Storms will come. What brings you out is what you choose to consider. If you consider the storms, it will sink you. But if you consider the one who says come, you will walk on storms as though nothing. See, there are times God will not say peace be still to the storm. He will tell you to walk on it. There are times he will say peace be still. But there are other times he will say come and walk on it. We must be discerning. There are storms you can't pray away, sir. You will have to walk on them by faith. You will have to walk sometimes with water on your left and water on your right, and God will expect you. Do you know what it means to walk on dry ground and water is still beside you? You don't need to picture things though. Me, I picture things. I've traveled on the sea, so I can relate with what I'm saying. That God says, Red Sea, see, it is one thing that the Red Sea has parted, but the water is beside you. He said, walk on the dry ground. That itself took a little of faith. Then when they were to enter promised land through Jordan, he did not part it. He told them, enter. So imagine Joshua saying, I remember Pastor Moses in his own day, the water parted before we entered. God said, no, tell the men who bear the ark to carry the ark and put leg inside the water. Bible says Jordan was as overflown its banks in that season. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? God didn't tell them enter water when the water, when it was dry season. It was when the water had overflown its banks. He said, the way this river will part is that you will carry my presence and enter first. Because the river cannot swallow you if you carry my presence. So, if the believer who is not the new creation, who is not carrying an ark on his head, but now God has dissolved into your spirit. He says, if you carry me, storms can overflow. Oh, if you carry me in you, storms cannot overflow you. So what do you do? In your day, God might not part it. He will tell you, you are carrying me, so enter. Because once your feet enters, the water will run back. Why? You can't carry God in a storm. A storm overthrows you. So in the word of God, we see what is possible. Oh, we see what is possible in God's word. And what is possible according to the word of God? How many things? All things are possible. So do yourself a favor. Believe. Huh? What did I say? Believe. Mary believed. And her response showed it. She said, be it unto me according to your word. That means, let my life take the shape and direction of what you have spoken. In submitting to God, we must submit to his word. That means, agree that the word of God is true and nothing else. So God's word shows us what is possible. Psalm 1 verse 2 and 3. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In it doth he what? Huh? How many times? In it doth he meditate day and night. What will happen to him? He said, he shall be like a what? Planted by where? That bringeth forth his fruit in his leaf also shall not. And how many things? Some things? Whatsoever. Can you take 24 hours one day and sit down with this verse? And just see yourself in this. That whatsoever I do prospers. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing goes down in my hands. So if there's a whatsoever in your hand right now, you can't allow it to go down. Come on. Come on. Come on. Why? You have a promise that says, but what do? He says, meditate on God's word day and night. That means continually. When you remember it, take the word of God again. When it comes to your mind, when fear, let me tell you how to do this. When fear comes to your mind, look for a scripture that deals with fear. When the thought of failure comes to your mind, respond with the right word. That's how you keep yourself sanitized from any evil thoughts throughout the day. When the thought of somebody who offended you comes to your mind, what do you say? Say, I'm walking in love. I choose love. Say, I'm patient, I'm kind. I walk in love. That's how you fight God's word. Whenever the negative thought comes, reply it with the word. See, that man who keeps his mind, who keeps muttering the word of God, he said, whatsoever that man does, prospers. Whatsoever. 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 Say, whatsoever I do, prospers. Say, it is impossible for me to fail. Come on, say it. Say it now. Ah, yeah. Are you afraid? Or you believe we fail sometimes, we win sometimes. You see why you have that experience? It is what you have believed. If you start changing what you believe now, your experience will be different. I had a pastor say, I have never failed in my life. You know, for my mind, I'm like, this is so much audacity. Some of us even saying that I've never failed, are still saying, anything can happen. When you have anything can happen mindset, it is hard to succeed. You know, they are carnal businessmen who don't believe that their business can fail. They're not born again. But they don't even think. They invest with their full chest that this one, it will work. And that alone, on that realm, is working. They believe it. How much more when that faith is anchored on the word of God that liveth forever? So nothing dies in my hands. I can't even say it. Now, wow. Are you paying for it? Nothing goes down in my hands. Say it like you mean. Say, nothing dies in my hands. Say it with some aggression. Nothing goes down in my hands. Now look at your business. Or that your job. Or that your account balance. Look at it now. Take 1 minute. Put it in your focus. And make that declaration aggressively. And tell it, nothing dies in my hands. Nothing goes down in my hands. Nothing dies in my hand. Nothing. 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 It's not time to be quiet, too. It's time to talk. Nothing goes down in my hands. This is how to superimpose the word over your affairs. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing goes down in my hands. Nothing is destroyed in my hands. Whatsoever I do prospers. Because the word of God says it so. He said, whatsoever that righteous man does, he prospers. He said, my leaves do not wither. Nothing goes down in my hands. Oh, as long as that thing has been put in my hands, it can never go down. I'm an agent of increase. My life is a platform for abundance. When you want something to grow, put it in my hands. It advances. It grows in the name of Jesus. I didn't say it in tongues. I said, declare those words. Declare it until it sinks into your spirit. Speak life. I don't know why I'm so worried about business tonight. Speak life to your business now. See, for some of you, you may not need to change what you are doing. You may only need to speak to what you are doing. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing goes down in my hands. Life. I speak life to my business. I speak life to my health. I speak life to my career. It advances with speed. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, we take our hands. There's somebody here, and I sense it so strongly. You literally have nothing to eat. But I decree in the name of Jesus, and I activate the ministry of angels concerning your life. Let there be shocking and divine supplies right now. I say to the angels right now, go. Bring food for that person. Impress in the hearts of someone to bless that person with what to eat. Not just tonight, but for many days. In the name of Jesus, no lack. No lack. No lack. No lack. Angels, get up. Get up right now. Angels, get up right now. Move with speed. In the name of Jesus. Oh man, that they get these of a higher. Randa these are made of vele keteli barada mosofa hende gede deshke. Ele nege tanda vile tabahados. Some of you may need to go back to your kitchen and speak right now. And say, nothing goes down here. Oh, nothing goes down here. You speak to it aggressively. Take 30 minutes. Declaring God's word. Declaring God's word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. And the last one is the word of God is a documented evidence of our victory. The word of God. I thought you would rejoice at that. The word of God is a documented evidence of our victory. So in case you have forgotten that you have victory, the word of God has been documented to remind you. It is the evidence of your victory. We don't only have victory because it was said. It is written. Come on, it is written. It is written. It is written. No matter what the devil says, there's something written. Ah, ha, ha, ha. It is written. Ah, yeah. It is written and preserved so that you can always go back to say it. The word of God is documented evidence of our victory. So I have a document that says I'm victorious. When the forces of life want to say otherwise, I have documented evidence. Praise God. Praise God. You know, if you give somebody money by hand, he may deny you. If you go and report him, he may say, you never gave me money. Because you don't have evidence. But if you wrote something down, and he signed, and you signed, what is that thing to you? A documented what? If you go and pay money in the bank, they give you a teller. Your teller is not to go and throw in dustbin. Many of you, learn. Learn half sense from today. They give you teller, saying this painting. Asha. That is evidence that you made payment. So that tomorrow, if you didn't see the alert, you can go back there. You know there are times where a bank teller will post wrongly. If he post money meant for A to B's account. So how will you prove if you are those among those squeeze teller? And the reason why you squeeze is because you're not paying big money inside. But still half sense. Tell anybody half sense. Half sense. Thank God for apps now. That have saved many of us. Once we transfer, it is there. But those is you now go back and say, I pay them to not carry that their book and be opening. And be opening for hours looking for your payments. That teller is an evidence that you have made payments. So the word of God is the evidence of your victory. So if you are looking to know whether you have victory over Satan, where do you go to? So Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power, from the dominion, from the influence, from the authority of Satan? He has delivered us. If it wasn't written, we may not be sure. But thank God it is written. Who has delivered us from where? And what has he done? Amen. So we have been taken from the domain of Satan and brought into the domain of Jesus. God has delivered us. It means I am no longer under the authority and influence of Satan. Oh, I'm not among those who the devil can wield influence over. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? My body is no longer under the authority and the influence of Satan. My finance is no longer. Come on, say it now. Ah, Jesus. He may try, but I'm no longer under his jurisdiction. Oh my God. My body is no longer, can no longer be under the influence of the devil. My finances is no longer under the influence of the devil. My mind is no longer under the influence of Satan. Guess where it is? It is under the influence of Jesus. It means that it's only what Christ permits that happens to my finance. It's only what Christ permits that happens to my health. It's only what Christ permits that happens to my mind. It is under the right influence. I've been delivered. I've been snatched away. Woo! Woo! Glory! Glory, glory, glory! I have been delivered. Glory to God! Woo! Woo! No more bowing under the influence of Satan. I've been delivered. I've been snatched away. He said, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world. How do you escape? We have escaped. There is a corruption. He said, but I have escaped it. Why? Jesus has delivered me. I'm delivered. Oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I have escaped. Glory to God. I have escaped. Come on, shout, I have escaped. From tormenting thoughts, I have escaped. From manipulative behavior, I have escaped. From sickness and disease, I have escaped. From brokenness and brocoliosis, I have escaped. I've escaped. I've escaped. I have escaped. My job has escaped. My enterprise has escaped. We can never be under the influence of Satan. Who has delivered us? Who has delivered us? Oh, who has delivered us? He has delivered me from the influence of Satan. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. Oh, my Atakaba. You know, for weeks now, I've been declaring that scripture. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I'm delivered from the reach of darkness. Oh, I walk in the light as he is in the light. I walk in the light as he is in the light. I walk in the light. In my pathway is life, and there is no death. I walk in the light as he is in the light. He says, unto the righteous, there ariseth light in darkness. So there's no darkness on my part. Riches and wealth are in my house. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is too late to be broke. I will never be broke a day of my life. I will never be broke. The devil then says to you, don't join them. How much is in your account? You turn back at him, I will never be broke. You know, the devil hates you talking like that. So when you're talking and he reminds you and say, Jero, you two, you talk. You are talking of those who are not broke. You two, you are talking. You shout it back at him. I will never be broke. If you cannot shout it, dance, sing, say, I will never be broke. I have been delivered from brokenness. Did you say broke? Me? Not me. Not me. Not me. Not me. Did you say sick? Me? Not me. Not me. Not me. Not me. When they are looking for those who are sick, they don't find me there. Why? I've been snatched away. I've been snatched away. No longer. Ayala deva kasovahane. Hey, you are looking for those who have failed. Not me. I'm not there. I have changed my location. You are looking for me. You can't find me there. Why? I have been delivered. I'm rescued forever. Glory! Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm delivered. Glory to God. I'm delivered. Glory to God. I'm delivered. Glory to God. I've been rescued from darkness. It has no power over me anymore. Listen to me. You are creating a false field of faith around your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You will go and sleep and all you'll be seeing is yourself flying. Flying in the air. Looking at the earth. Seeing nations of the world. Oh, seeing yourself having penetration into difficult spheres. Where they have said it's not possible if you don't have a leg. Suddenly you are inside it. Your mind opens and you can see yourself there. See yourself breaking protocols. They put barriers if you're not an indigene. But suddenly, and the Yatabaya, you enter. And you have entered. They say, how come you made it here? Your name is not Musa, but you are here. Why? It's because you have been revving up with words. It's because you have been releasing armories of words. You have been releasing artilleries of words. You have been dropping confessions. And those words have begun to make your path brighter. Because the Bible says the path of a just man is as a shining light. That shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But how do we make our path shine? He said, thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So when the Bible says that the path of a just is as a shining light, it means there is a word in the mouth of the just. All the just needs to speak is to declare those words. And the more he speaks, the more his path gets brighter. Why? The word is the light unto my path. Rise up and begin to speak in the Holy Ghost. The word of God is documented evidence that I have victory. Victory over Satan. Victory over sin. Victory over sickness. Victory over lack. Victory over disappointments. Victory over addictions. The word of God is documented evidence that I have that victory. I have victory. I have victory. I have victory. I have victory. In the name of Jesus. 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 I have victory.